Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying with us. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Rebecca Barnett is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's the founder of a company called Winning Your Way, Incorporated, and she specializes in talking to people about character-centered leadership. She's also the author of a new book called Winning Without Losing Your Way, Character, which is part of character-centered leadership. And she also, by the way, folks, you'll find this interesting. She is a national referee and black belt in the Olympic sport of judo and a silver medalist in the 2001 World Masters Judo Championship. So we won't be messing with her today. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Your Rocky music is exactly what we listen to before we go out to fight. So that was the right music to get me awake this morning.
We do what we can, don't we?
Right.
Rebecca, you used an interesting word there. You used the word fight. Small business owners, entrepreneurs enter the marketplace, and we know we're in for a fight. We know we got competition. We've got competition at every turn. We got competition at the bank. We got competition with our competitors, our regular competitors. We got competition to hire employees, to retain employees. It's a very competitive, a very sometimes seemingly adversarial situation in the marketplace. And a lot of times that kind of an environment it makes people think that if they're going to fight, they've got to fight at all costs. They've got to win at all costs, whatever it takes. And I believe the things that you like to talk about with people is how to win without doing it at all costs.
Right. The whole premise of the book is how can you win and is it possible to be successful without doing some of these things that people do to get ahead, like the political manipulation, you know, the lying, cheating behaviors that people so often fall into when there's some really high stakes of money and power and stock options. And for the small business owner, the very high stakes of simple survival.
Right, absolutely. But sometimes, you know, one of the things that's happening, and I think this is one of the things your book will be really good for folks with, Rebecca, is sometimes a lot of people enter the marketplace for their own account, which is to say running their own business. A little bit later in life, there may be, you know, in their 30s or 40s or even 50s or even older maybe, having worked for a corporation for a number of years. And in that corporation, two things happened. They were isolated from a lot of the reality of the marketplace, and they had the corporate ethics of that business installed in them, which may or may not be a good thing. And so when they start their own business, they have really limited perspective sometimes about what good business ethics looks like. What do you think about that?
Well, actually, I have been fortunate to come across a lot of small business owners who actually were driven away from corporate America because they got so fed up with what they were seeing in large corporations and felt they were being compromised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's just such a testimony to the human optimism that people are even courageous enough to start a business. Any rational person would look at the failure statistics. I mean, really, and they would say, hey, you know, the odds are against me surviving, but every year millions of people start small businesses because there's always that hope that I'm going to be the one who beats the odds. I am going to be successful.
Well, one of the reasons why I think that that's happening is because they're realizing that job security has always been kind of a myth, really.
Exactly right. And I think that people want more control of their destiny. And also, they get to the point where they have so much success, and something happens, there's some kind of trigger, and they step back and they say, you know what, I'm paying too high a price here, or I don't like myself anymore. And I just met this woman who was just so extraordinary, and she was working for a software startup back in the go-go late 1990s, made a tremendous, tremendous amount of money and stock and bonuses, but she finally reached that point, and she walked away. And now she works at, you know, what most of us would consider a very low-level job. But she's happy, and she's a better spouse, and she's a better mother. And so, you know, she really was defining success on her own terms.
Well, what I was that's happening all over the place. What I was talking about a minute ago, though, was not that people don't know right from wrong, because I think that is the bearing that people use for themselves. But I think what happens is the issue of business ethics is not black or white. It's gray. It's what to do when you're in the gray area. And when we come back after these messages, I want you to talk to us about how we can operate our businesses in that gray area, especially with regard to building a culture of ethical behavior in our businesses with our employees. And we're going to do that right after these messages with our new friend, Rebecca Barnett. Her book is called Winning Without Losing Your Way. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Lysingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Karen Kerrigan is going to join us. Karen is the chairman of the Small Business Survival Committee. You've heard me interview Karen many times before on the show. We're going to talk about what's happening with medical savings accounts, MSAs. And there's some news on that front, and how that's going to impact you and me and our small businesses, and how it can benefit us too, by the way. And we're going to do that coming up in the next hour. And then after that, after Karen, we're going to be visiting with Brad Huskin, who's one of our top salesmanship experts in our Brain Trust, and we're going to talk about salesmanship and taking care of our customers. That's coming up in the next hour. And by the way, don't forget, I'll be here on Friday, July the 4th, and we've got an outstanding show lined up for you that day, and I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. Rebecca Barnett is our guest. She's a new friend. We're talking about her book, Winning Without Losing Your Way, which is all about how to create a culture in your business of ethical behavior. And Rebecca, when we get these employees, when we have these people who come to work for us, they're already grown. I mean, they've already gone to Sunday school or not. They've already been raised by people who taught them good values or not. How can we possibly hope to affect the way they behave ethically when we only have them for 8 hours a day?
Well, you've hit the exact key issue right there on the head. That's the whole question. Is it too late by the time somebody comes into your business to teach them values and strengthen their character, to teach them right from wrong? Now, the cynics would tell you that it is too late, but I can tell you that having a person 8 hours a day, or if you've got a small business, you probably have them 10 or 12 hours a day, you have them more waking hours than anything else. So you can have a great influence on them. And it's really critical, any person who joins your organization, you have to be very, very clear about this is how we do things around here, this is what we stand for, this is what we believe. But even more important than that is every day, especially in a small business, they're watching you. And so through your leadership every day and every small example, you have to show them this is the way things are done around here.
Here's a little sermonette, I guess, that I give every new employee when they come to work for me. And I say this to them as early as possible so that they know that I have no preconceived notion about them. They know that I'm obviously talking in general, meaning that I haven't known them long enough to have any kind of a preconceived notion. And this is what I say. I say, you don't have to, if you mess up, you don't have to hide it from me. Because all I'm going to do is say, what did we learn? You don't have to lie to me, because if you want to do something, if you'll ask me, I'll probably let you do it. And you don't have to steal from me, because if you want it, if you ask me, I'll probably give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And I just say that little speech to them, and so far I think it's worked pretty well.
Right, because you're setting those expectations out very clearly when they walk in the door. One thing that I would caution small business owners to be especially cautious of, the new generation coming into the workforce is not coming in firmly grounded in their values. And, of course, I'm a baby boomer, so every generation, I think, has a tendency to look at the younger generation and say how, you know, we were smarter and worked harder. But the Josephinian Institute has done a study of college freshmen, and every year there has been a deterioration of what you and I, the baby boomers, would consider very black and white issues, mm-hmm. things like cheating on a test. And a lot of that blame you can lay right back at the foot of the baby boomers, because so many of us were very self-absorbed, and we were caught up in our own careers.
Absentee parents.
Oh, it has been terrible. And we have raised a whole generation on television and divorce. So
Jerry Springer.
Oh, mm-hmm. Or MTV, mm-hmm. even worse. So, you know, we have a special responsibility to this younger generation. And we, the baby boomers, we like to whine, and no one yet is calling us the greatest generation. But
I'm not sure that'll ever happen,
well,
Rebecca.
I'm hopeful, though, that we still have an opportunity.
You think we can redeem ourselves?
I really do, and I'll tell you why this is so important. These scandals that we've just been through happen in about 10-year cycles. So many of us who are the baby boomers will be close to retirement in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have an opportunity and responsibility now for this younger generation to teach them right from wrong and to help them become very clear on their values.
Of course, many of them may look at this generation and say, well, you know, we learned some of this stuff from you guys.
Well,
the thing that it seems to me that we have to do, I think the human spirit wants to do the right thing. I think it's more the nature of human beings to do good than to do evil. And I think what your book talks about and what I think is important that we focus on is how to give the human spirit the opportunity to do good. And I think you said it earlier, by setting the right example, by setting the tone, by establishing how we're going to behave in this company. And I think if you do that, I think what will happen is people will say, you know what, this is fresh air, this is good news, this is the kind of place I want to stay in.
And people are so hungry for that leadership. You wouldn't believe, as I go around the country, people will come up to me, or they'll call me, or they'll email me, and they'll recite back to me stories from the books or quotes. And, you know, sometimes they'll come up to me and they'll have tears in their eyes, and they'll say, thank you for writing this book, because it's reinforced what I knew all along. So they know what is right, but they're getting no reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And people are so, so hungry for strong, ethical leadership. And that's how you'll build a loyal workforce.
And not only leadership that comes out of your mouth, but leadership that comes from your behavior. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, how to make sure that you practice what you preach. Tintill will be right back with our new friend, Rebecca Barnett. She's the author of the brand-new book, Winning Without Losing Your Way. It's all about customer-centered leadership.
Come down off your throne and leave your body alone.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And by the way, folks, a minute ago I said the book is about customer-centered leadership. I meant character-centered leadership. You know me, I've always got customers on my mind. But the book is called Winning Without Losing Your Way, and it's about character-centered leadership, which is very important that we all focus on this. And Rebecca, let's talk about our employees. Let's talk about some more about how we can help our employees to do the right thing. I was talking a minute ago about the importance of not only talking about what we should do, but also actually doing it. I've had a couple of examples on the show where people have told me about a leader, a boss, a manager who talked a lot about behaving ethically, but whenever he conducted his own business, his employees saw him not actually always doing that. And what ultimately happened was, I remember one particular story, what ultimately happened is that company finally collapsed because the employees came to work for him thinking they were finding a home, and what they found out was that it was a lot of hypocrisy, and they wound up leaving him.
And people, when that happens, when you set their expectations that they're going to live and work in a company of high integrity, and then that doesn't happen, they feel betrayed. And it's a tremendous letdown. What I've found is that people learn from stories, and it's stories that build a company culture. So going to a big company example for just a moment, at Home Depot, the story, the first story you heard was about Bernie and Arthur and how they bucked the odds and how they started the company. And that was a story that really pointed to their courage and their commitment. And any company you go into, there's stories like that. And they're either good stories or else they're bad stories. And that's how people learn your company culture. Mm-hmm. You can't just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to make up stories about great things I did as a leader. But again, as people are watching you, and you can create this culture of storytelling, and that's how they'll know what you expect and what's right in the company.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca, let's stop for a minute and tell the audience where they can find your book.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. The book is available through Barnes & Noble, or if they would like to learn more, maybe aren't even interested in the book, I have lots of articles and links and information on my website, and that is www.winningyourway.com. And they're welcome to go on there. I've got plenty of articles that they can even put in their own company newsletter if they would like.
All right. But now, they obviously, just need to, they need to ask you for, to let you know where they're putting it, give you...
Oh, sure.
Her know where you're putting it, and also don't forget to use the attribution. What about, have you got a have you got an e-zine? Have you got a publication that you send out?
I sure do. I sure do, and they can go on there and sign up for that as well.
How often does it come out?
It comes out monthly, and it's no more than a reinforcement, which is what I think we're lacking right now in our culture. There's no reward and there's no praise for doing what's right. So the e-zine is just a very small way to try to turn that tide.
What are you seeing as you travel around and you speak with folks? Are you seeing you mentioned the tide. Is it turning or if it isn't turning, is it turnable?
We have, right this moment, we have a great opportunity. We have a very small window that's already beginning to close, and that window opened up with 9/11. So when I was writing the book, there were two pink elephants in the room. One was Enron, and the other one was 9/11. And so this isn't just a book about your company culture or integrity or business ethics, but this is really the larger issue of how we live our lives. So we have this great opportunity right now with the bad economy. We have a window of introspection, and we can really make a difference.
You think people are resonating to the idea because of 9/11? And if so, does that mean that you know it's possible to actually see some kind of a blessing out of the 9/11 experience?
I think that there have been so many hurtful things since 9/11. Of course, the tragedy, you know, which was very personal for me, mm-hmm. because we lost one of our judo champions in the United Flight 93.
Mm-hmm.
So that tragedy took on a very personal tone. But after that, on a much smaller scale, so many very good people have been hurt. And they've been hurt when they saw their retirements wiped out with the mm-hmm. stock market. And there's so many good people who are out of work and have been out of work now for over a year. So this is a nice opportunity, if we take it, to push that pause button and really examine what we're doing with our lives.
And really make something good happen from some of the bad that's happened. Rebecca,
that's exactly
thank you
right.
for being here. The website is winningyourway.com.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Rebecca. We'll see you next time. Winning Without Losing Your Way is the book, folks. Check it out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.